Let's pray for these needs as we get ready to launch into the Word today as we continue Mark. And we jump in Mark chapter 10. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for this day. Thank you for worship, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a God of revival and you know how to touch us. God, I pray especially for Sandy Gorski and her family. God, that you would just minister to them in the loss of their father and bless her mama, Lord. God, just minister to them right now. I pray for Dee Dalton, Lord, that you would just give her peace right now and help her navigate the decisions that she's going to have to make. God, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray for Pastor Marco and all the staff that you would just continue to strengthen them and bless them in a special way. I'm going to pray for Linda's brother, Jesse, Lord, that you just minister to him as he's in the hospital with COVID. God, just bless him, I pray. Bless your word today, Lord. Bless our land today, Lord. We pray for our land. We pray for President-elect Biden, Lord. We pray for the transition. We pray your peace over this nation, Lord. Help us. We need you, Lord. Bless your word today, Lord, as we sit before it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to talk to you today about the servants. The servants. In Mark chapter 10, it's an amazing little story. In verse 35, it says this. And then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Now, think about that just for a moment. That's a pretty bold request. Whatever we ask, we want you to do it. And he said unto them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said unto him, "Permit one of us to sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." But Jesus said unto them, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I experience?" They said unto him, "We are able." Then Jesus said unto them, "You will drink the cup I drink and you will be baptized with the baptism I experience. But to sit at my right or my left is not mine to give. It is for those whom it has been prepared." Now when the other 10 heard this, they became angry with James and John. Jesus said unto them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in high positions use their authority over them. But it is not this way among you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus sets before us the example of what is required in the kingdom of God. We have been talking about Jesus had just given the announcement of his death the third time. And his disciples come, and they're very presumptuous, very kind of self-centered. And here they are. It's weird to me that they don't even seem to pay attention to what Jesus has just told them about his own suffering, about his own death, about all the things that are about to transpire in his own life. They kind of just rush through that and are interested in where they're going to sit, where they're going to be in the kingdom. Yes, you see, the kingdom of God requires self-renunciation. It requires a denial of self. And this must accompany us as we carry the cross. The disciples have not yet got that into their heart, their soul, their spirit. They are insensitive. They're insensitive to what Jesus has just told them. They're insensitive to the needs around them. They're insensitive to the call of God on their own life. I find it amazing that Jesus is still patient with them. I mean, think about it just for a moment. I mean, they're slow learners. We all know what that is. Here they are. They weren't good at listening, were they? And the truth is, most of us are not very good listeners. We really have to deny ourselves, our own interest, to really hear what other people are saying. And here they are. James and John have this request, this teacher, do whatever we want. Do whatever we want. And then I think it's very gracious that Jesus even says, oh, well, what do you want? I think he already knows. Jesus knows this teaching moment very well, and he's trying to hammer into them their future. Their future is not about, in this present world, not about ruling and reigning. The present situation requires servanthood. And that's what Jesus is trying to push through into their hearts and their lives. And they don't get it until the day of Pentecost and the church's birth, and they're sent on a mission. It is then they take up this mantle of service, this mantle of being a servant. What do you want me to do for you? That's what Jesus asks them. You know what? I think that's pretty bold of Jesus. And I think there are times in our lives when God says to us, what do you need done? Can I ask you? Don't be afraid to ask God to do something in your behalf, especially in the relationship to the people around you. We are called to be servants. And one of the greatest ways to serve the people around you is to pray for them, to call out their need before God and allow God to move and touch them. Yeah. Here it is. Their question really is a question about the kingdom to come. Rank in the kingdom. Who's going to be on top of the other? Who's going to be at your right and your left hand? They are trying to secure their position. How many of you know position in the kingdom of God is not secured by our efforts? It's secured by what he has done. And that's what the disciples are missing at this point. They knew him as the eschatological king, the one who was coming to rule with in David's space, and they wanted to get a part of that. But part of that would not come through position. It would come through his grace and what Christ does, and the acceptance of that makes us all servants. Jesus' response to these disciples is, you don't know what you're asking. I sense the humor in that personally, because, you know, there are times we're not asking the right things, and the disciples here are not asking the right things. And Jesus responds, you just don't know what you're asking. There's something beautiful about Jesus who sees the big picture, yet has patience with these disciples. I think one of the reasons he has patience with them is he knows what's ahead of them. And the character development in the life of the disciples is about to get in full swing through the suffering of Jesus, through the betrayal of Jesus, through the witnessing of the cross, the suffering of Jesus. That character development would never be replaced. It did something in them. And God knew, Jesus knew it was coming. Yeah. They were about to enter the crash course of character development. Here we don't know what really is ahead of us. All we can really do is trust him with our todays. And then in the midst of our trusting him, we know this. He prepares us for our tomorrows. And that's what he's doing. Jesus asked this question to them. Are you able to drink from the cup that I drink? Will you be baptized with the baptism I experience? Well, you know what he's talking about. He's talking about the cup of judgment that was going to come upon him because of our sin. He was going to be baptized with the baptism of death. But that baptism wouldn't hold him. He would rise again. And the disciples would experience that. They would all die for the cause of Christ. They would all be baptized with the death in this world, but they would rise. That's our hope in Jesus, that he conquered the grave. We too, the grave does not hold us down. Matter of fact, Paul will declare this, to die is gain. We gain because at that very moment, we're in the presence of Jesus. ruling and reigning with him. Yeah. You see, Jesus' glory would come through his suffering, through his death, through his resurrection. And we get to participate in that. Yeah, the spiritual position that he gives us when we ask him into our heart and our life. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 10 puts it this way. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even though we were dead in transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus to demonstrate in the coming ages the surpassing wealth of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so we may do them. Do you see that? He prepared us as workmen for his works. We are called to be servants. Don't miss that. Servants. I think it's significant that when Jesus recognizes cups of cold water given in his name, coats given in his name, visitation of prisoners, all of that represents servanthood, is what Christians should be, serving one another, serving those that are lost, serving the community, getting your hands dirty, touching in relationship, serving for the benefit of others. That's what Jesus did. Great love. Listen to how Paul says, this great love which he loved us has accomplished amazing things, has brought us salvation. Jesus, the chief servant of the kingdom, brought us a gift that we could not work our way into, could not purchase. He purchased it for us. It is a gift. He serves us salvation. And then he raises us up and seats us in heavenly places. That means you can come boldly before the throne of grace, that you can pray and make your requests known unto him. And we know he hears us, the scripture says. Why? Because as he served us here on earth, he still serves us in heaven. Glory to God. Serves us in ways we cannot fathom, we cannot imagine. Yes. Here's the beauty of it. And then you and I are demonstrations of his grace, of his mercy. This demonstration to the age to come that his power can rescue us from darkness and place us in the kingdom of the Son he loves. Listen, this is love. I know that love. Because he's a great servant. And therein, when we serve one another, we display his love. We display love to a world that needs desperately love. You see, when he serves us, the wealth of his grace goes on display. Display in me. Display in us as his church. Display in the kingdom of God. It is a beautiful thing that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's service. I hope there's an eye toward the people around you who need your helping hand. Don't be afraid to help. Don't be afraid to get your hands dirty, to help someone move, to help somebody. Listen, service is a great opportunity. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul goes on to say this. This was according to the eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access to God because of Christ's faithfulness. For this reason, I ask you not to lose heart because of what I am suffering for you. which is your glory. Isn't that beautiful? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 puts it this way. Therefore, let us confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace whenever we need help. I don't know about you, but I need help. And I need the more I live, the more help I need. And God is that sufficient help in the time of trouble. Don't ever cease to call upon him for help. So here the disciples are, Pete, James, and John. They ask him this question. And when the disciples hear, they dare to ask Jesus to have on the right and the left hand. They are angry. They are mad. I think they're mad because they didn't ask first, personally. James and John beat them to the punchline because obviously they are worried about position themselves, thinking that James and John have taken advantage. Selfish ambition was alive and well among the disciples, and God was going to deal with it. Rivalry. It is not a healthy sign for the future of the church, in my opinion. The disciples are vying for position as the greatest one among them would become nothing and die the death of a criminal on a cross. He teaches them something powerful about servanthood. And then he teaches them about the way it works in the world. Listen to it. You know that those who are recognized as rulers in the Gentile lord it over them. In other words, when rulers rule, they rule over you in such a way that it benefits them. Self-serving leadership. That is the world of rulers, according to the philosophies of the world. But in the kingdom of God, it's got to be different. Not so with the kingdom. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. God, help me to be a better servant. That ought to be our prayer today. How can I serve my wife better? How can I serve my children better? How can I serve my employee better? How can I serve those around me better? How can I serve in the church better? How can I serve better? Matter of fact, these are the characteristics of future leaders in the church. Number one, submission. You can't serve well unless you have a sense of submission. Submitting to Christ's leadership and rulership over your life. Submitting to one another out of a reverence and a love and a care for one another. And then there's servanthood without sacrifice really isn't. No, the kingdom of God requires sacrifice. So it goes back to this, pick up the cross and follow him. Yeah. Servanthood really shows an interest in others. What can I do to help others? You see, the work in the kingdom of God is an expression of love. And that expression of love carries through service, serving one another's. Listen, I know this. I have worked several different kinds of jobs, and when I get the idea in my heart, in my life, that I'm doing this for money, and I stop doing it for the sake of others, work becomes very hard. Work becomes unfulfilling. But somehow, if you can keep in your mind, I teach for the sake of others. I work for the sake of those who need this service that I'm providing. If you realize that you're in it for the benefit and service of others, there's energy to your spirit. There's energy to your life. It's beautiful. And that is the gift that God gives us in his Son, Jesus Christ. He teaches us what it is to be a servant. Yeah. What is greatest in the kingdom of God? Those greatest in the kingdom of God, they're servants. Can I tell you that is contrary to the world? I mean, think about those who walk the red carpet in Hollywood. They're not servants. They're egotistical, self-invested people who really don't care much for anything but their own name and their own glory. Not so with you, Jesus says. No, we are servants first. We are people who pick up the towel and wash feet. We are people who care and are concerned about the welfare of those around us. Why? Because Jesus leads the way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says this, listen, for we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. In Galatians 3:15, listen, for you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity to indulge in your flesh, but through love, serve one another. Serve one another. You see, the greatest reversal of human greatness happens in the kingdom of God. Human greatness is not about a name or your power or your money. Human greatness in the kingdom of God is about serving. And I would say the greatest service you can give to people is to pray for them, to bring cups of cold water to encourage them. We sometimes want to do serving stuff, but sometimes the greatest service you can do for somebody is take them before the throne of grace and pray and intercede for them. May God help us to do that. This is what Jesus says about his own life. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Here's the important thing. The Son came. Aren't you glad God sent his Son for you? He didn't for you. He came. It's a historical fact that God sent his Son, displayed in the Gospels, displayed in history. God loved you so much, he sent his Son. Jesus said it. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And he did that by becoming a ransom. In other words, he bought what you couldn't afford. He bought you back from death. He brought you back from the darkness, from the kingdom, spiritual darkness of this world. Because this world is the devil's domain. Can I tell you something? Don't make your home here. Make your home in heaven. Listen, this is all just passing away. But we know this. God sent his Son, ransomed us so he could prepare a place for us. That's our hope. That's our hope. And in the midst of hoping, we serve. We look around for people around us. We care for those because he first loved us. He taught us what it is to be a servant. He ransomed us. Ransom speaks of my liberation. It speaks of my freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Praise his name. My joy is not tied to the rulership of this world. My joy is not tied to the bank accounts. My joy is tied to him who ransomed me, who made a promise that he's coming back again, who made a promise that he would never leave me nor forsake me. I hope you know that hope in Christ Jesus. I want to encourage you to be a servant to the people around you. And if you don't know where to begin, I would encourage you to pray. Just begin to pray. Sometimes we want our prayers to be sophisticated, and can I tell you, prayer is just a conversation with God. A prayer is a request. God bless. God encourage. It doesn't have to be more profound than that. Matter of fact, I think God loves simplicity. we want to make things complicated. And God just loves us to pour our heart out before Him. No greater service than just to be a servant to those around you. I hope you can just pause right now and thank God for serving you. Would you thank God for being a ransom for your life? Would you thank God for the salvation you possess? Your children, your family. Maybe there are those in your life who need to know Him. I would encourage you. Cry out to Him. Maybe it's your acts of service that will lead someone to acknowledge Jesus. I would encourage you. Be that servant. What a great challenge for us today. Not to be worried about position or prestige or where we're going to be. It's what we are today. We are servants of His kingdom. Can I pray for you? Lord, I thank You for those watching online today. And I thank You, Lord God, that You teach us great lessons. Oh, the disciples were so slow, Lord. They didn't listen well. I know that feeling, Lord. They didn't do it all just right. They were rivals. They were wanting to be first. They had all kinds of selfish ambition, and You were patient with them. Thank You, Lord, for Your patience. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace that gives us a place in the throne of grace. We love You, Lord. And God, I just pray You lay Your hand of blessing upon Your people today. May they know redemption renewed in their heart and their life. May they know the power of Your grace afresh and anew. God, may You revive Your church for this day, for this season. God, we pray for Your peace over Your church. We pray for Your peace over this land. That You will bless America, Lord, I pray. Help us. Help us, Lord, to be greater servants in an age that needs Your love, Your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining today. Thank you for listening to Freedom Church Online. Thank you for being patient with us. And thank you for praying, being a servant. We have some great servants here at our church. You guys just amaze me all along. All the food you've been delivering for those that are sick and stuff. It's just blessed me to hear stories of your servanthood. Keep it up. Let's display love. Live in the Spirit, grow in truth, and love one another boldly.